the golf cart at Camp Manitoumi. I was there that week. I was doing an internship in Springfield, and I was with Tim Algrim at the. We heard a bang in the middle of the night, and the fact that somebody would have the guts to do that, to get that golf cart, you were a hero. There's no need to run out of town in my, for my sake, believe me. You are up here. I mean, that is great. So good to meet you. My brother, I want to talk more afterwards, obviously. Yeah, no, maybe we better not. My brother, Bob, and I, we are to be here today representing our parents, Gary and Helen Hansen, who are still alive. They are down in Florida. Our father, Gary, is not in the best of health, so they weren't able to make it up here for this time. But we bring you greetings of the highest regard from them. My brother, Bob, was actually alive. Parents were here. I was not even a twinkle in their eye. And Bob, you were what, in kindergarten, I think, when you left here, and then God kind of maneuvered us around the state of Illinois. And then we have a sister also who's 1 year older than Bob. Her name is Lois, and she also lives down in Florida in Bradenton, not too far, about an hour and a half from our parents. But it is a real joy and honor for us to trudge around. As Terry mentioned, we did some we got here a little early yesterday ourselves and did some driving around. And as Bob tells me, they had the great fame of living in different houses for the 3 years they were here. And so we tried to find every one of those houses. We found every street, not necessarily the house, but an enjoyable time. Bob, we are both missionaries, and Bob works with an agency called Man in the Mirror, and his ministry is dealing with discipleship, discipling men to disciple other men, and just a wonderful ministry, and he would love to tell you more about it. It's a heritage of our parents and what they built into us, a heart for ministry and for the gospel, and to see people grow in their faith as well. I have been an organization called Capital Ministries, and we work with legislators. I happen to be in the state of Ohio, and I work with the legislators in the state of Ohio. A year ago, I had the opportunity. I don't care what you think of President Trump. I don't know what you think about him. I don't care what you think about him, but I do want you to know this. One of the best things that President Trump ever did was he asked Mike Pence to be his running mate. Mike Pence, President Trump has given him the responsibility that whenever there is a staff position that needs to be filled, either on the cabinet, the judicial system, President Trump has given Mike Pence the authority, the responsibility to bring the top three for the position to be filled. And so you can be reasonably sure, Mike Pence, by the way, if you didn't know it, a wonderful believer, a member of one of our sister churches in the state of Indiana, just a wonderful man of God. You can be reasonably sure that anybody President Trump picks, who Vice President Pence has vetted, is a believer and a person who has a strong commitment to the authority of Scripture and to Jesus Christ. I had the wonderful opportunity to meet with President Trump's cabinet last year for a Bible study. They have a weekly Bible study. It's the first one that's happened in 100 years since the Truman administration. And these people, they love the Lord. They will come back from foreign seas just to not miss that Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock Bible study across the street from the Capitol building at the Hart building. Just a wonderful opportunity. You know, God, He is a big God who sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to fulfill a mystery. The mystery that's talked about over and over again in the book of Ephesians, and it's also mentioned in the book of Romans, and I'm going to briefly look at Romans chapter 16, one of the most overlooked passages in all of Scripture. the mystery of the gospel. For centuries, they were looking for the people of Israel, God's chosen people. They were looking forward to what they called the Messiah, one who would come to free them of their bondage, of setting them free. And this mystery then, it unfolds then in the gospel. It wasn't necessarily what they were looking for, expecting when the Messiah literally came from heaven to earth. And then he lives his life, and people probably who knew him knew that he was different than most. They had to know, at least his mother knew something, Mary, because remember the first miracle that Jesus did when he turned the water into wine. How did she know that he could do that? When there was a problem, Mary says, "Jesus, you're on." Why? Because she had history with him. She knew that he was special, that he had probably done things before, that she could now draw on him for this occasion. So probably other people knew a little bit maybe about who he was and grew up, and he was a carpenter with his father. But then the last 3 years of his life, and he becomes public. And he wanted to keep it under wraps for a little while, but it didn't take long. Once you start articles and people start the lame stand up and they start to walk, and the very, very sick who were lame, they start to walk, and people are healed, and it spreads quickly, as in Jesus it did. And this mystery begins to unfold, and in the last days of his life, as we know the story, the gospel is now coming to fruition and is being told, and we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God himself, who laid down his own life on the cross, who was buried. And 3 days later, he raises from the dead. This mystery has now become a reality. And this is what Paul starts to unfold in the epistles. And he says that his only desire is to magnify the Lord, to fame, to make much of the eternal gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And at the end of Paul's life, as he is imprisoned, he decides to look back over his life. And he's going to recognize some people who have been faithful over the time of his ministry life. And in Romans chapter 16, he starts with verse 3, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but he starts to read this list of names that he wants to be sure that these are greeted and that people know that they have been faithful. And what he gives us is a list of 27 names. All have a positive connotation that is established with them. And some of them, they're just incredible. They're incredible names that may not pop out to us. And I just wanted to look down through a couple and point a couple of them out. Well, of course, in verse chapter 1, he starts with Phoebe, and she was a deaconess in the church, and she was a great helper to him. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila, and he says they're Jew, and so one was a Jew, Priscilla and Aquila. One was a Jew, and one was a Roman citizen. It's the first time in the scriptures that we see an interracial couple here. And they are banished from Rome, and they're put in Corinth because of the interracial marriage. And he calls them, Paul calls them, my great helpers. I like that. Do you know a great helper is in scripture? A helper. Not the evangelist, the helper. I like that. Someone who's faithful. He talks about Mary. She's just a hard worker. She mentioned in verse 6. He talks about Urbanus. just a fellow worker in Christ. These are just ordinary people that Paul has come across in his travels and people who have accepted Christ. He talks about Apelles. He's in Christ. He talks about his high character. Just the fact that somebody has high character is worthy enough to be mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. He talks about Herodian. History tells us Herodian is the nephew of King Herod. Herod, who was not a friend of Christianity, his nephew is a follower of Christ. He comes down and he talks, where's the last one I really wanted to point out here? Oh, here it is. Philophagus and Julia. Nero and his sister. You know who Nero is? That was the son of Nero. Not a friend of Christians. His son was and lost his life for being a believer in Jesus Christ. He goes down here and he talks about Timothy. He talks about Gaius. And at the end, he comes down and he says, you know, as in my life, as I've been traveling, by the way, if we go back to Acts chapter 9, what was the purpose of Paul's ministry? In Acts chapter 9 is where we see the conversion of Paul, and we know that Paul met Jesus in the bright, and as they are talking, Jesus, he tells him to go ahead to the town, and he tells him a specific address to go to. And so after his moment with Jesus and the bright, he's blinded, and he goes into the town to the address, and he's staying there. And then Jesus comes to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I want you to go to this specific address because my servant is there waiting for you, his Paul. And of course, Ananias says, oh, I'd be happy to. No, that's not what Ananias says. He says something like some other people in the Old Testament said. He says, Saul. Do you know what he's been doing to the church? And so finally, Jesus' response to him is, yes, I know, but I'm going to use Paul specifically for three things. I'm going to use him first to reach the Jews and then the Gentiles. You know what else it says? The kings of the Gentiles. Look at that. And everywhere that Paul went on his missionary journeys, out of 17 cities that he went on his missionary journeys, 14 of them were provincial capitals of Rome. Not only was Paul planting his ideology, it was his purpose, it was his vision and mission to reach the political leaders of the day with his ultimate objective to get to Caesar, which he did, which is where he lost his life. He was faithful to the calling that God gave him to magnify the name of God, to spread his fame, to be a faithful servant doing what God has asked him. And look at the tremendous foundation that God used Paul, the apostle, to lay. Faithful servants. We are not here to magnify men. We know that. This is about God. But God has chosen to use people. I stand up here and I have the privilege of looking out here. Some of you I know, many of you I don't. I wonder how God has used and is using I wonder, let's do a little exercise here. And forgive me if you think that this is inappropriate, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you were saved, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ, whether it was in this building, that building, that building, doesn't matter, in Bible Baptist, you gave your life as a youngster or as an adult, just wondering, would you stand up? if here, and you were fortunate and privileged enough to lead someone to Jesus Christ, whether Sunday school, Awana, whatever it is, would you stand up? Oh, stay standing. If you were standing, stay standing. If you've been a Sunday school teacher, Awana leader, anything directed with children's ministries, would you stand up? If you have been involved in any ministry of this church of whatsoever, whether you're teaching it, leading it, or involved in it, would you stand up? And I think that you're already standing up. I was going to say, would current pastors, former pastors, families, wives, I think you're standing as I look around. Well, I'll tell you what, brothers, go ahead and stand up. Everybody, just go ahead and stand up. Go ahead, so if you want to. Look, this is the family of God. This isn't God. This isn't our doing. This is God's doing. And he touched every one of us sitting in here in some way, shape, or form because of the ministry of Bible Baptist Church. And as far as I know, it's because people were just faithful. We're good as the people that Paul mentions in Scripture. Never think of yourself because you're not flashy, you don't get the fame, you don't get the recognition as something to be diminished, is what God uses. I would like to close with the doxology that Paul closed with. Stay standing in Romans chapter 16. And may this be our prayer. In verse 25, he says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen."